This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and we're kicking off the second hour of the program here. We've been talking a lot about the library ruling by a federal court church. The man in the robe there at the district court in New Hampshire, Paul Barbadoro, has determined that library credits, which are just another form of a cryptocurrency, basically, that really aren't even used as a currency in any meaningful sense. They're used as a kind of a utility token on the library platform.
And it literally has a utility.
Yes.
As we mentioned earlier, it's required if you want to make something available, because you don't actually upload videos to the blockchain. That's one of the things that judges got wrong in this particular. You upload a pointer to the blockchain, but the video, it's torrented, basically.
Right. That's true.
And you have to have a library credit in order to get that pointer out there so people know where to find your video.
We're going to bring Justin O'Donnell back on the line here. He is the host of Subversive with Justin O'Donnell. That is his own podcast. He's also one of the hosts of Free State Live, which is one of our competitors on Monday night, but I think it's a friendly competition, and do appreciate your show. I was a regular listener up until we had a lot of stuff to do around the house. I've listened to probably almost 90% of the Free State Live episodes, and I really enjoy that program. You guys basically have a liberty activist from New Hampshire or a Free State Project mover, early mover, recent mover, and you interview him for an hour. Basically.
They had Joe on like the couple days before he went most famous he's ever gotten.
That's true.
Yeah, we had Joe on to talk about the importance of getting in where other people are uncomfortable getting in with cameras, and then 2 days later.
That's Joe, man. Gotta respect it.
Yeah, so we were talking about library, LBRY.com. For listeners that don't know, it's a media sharing protocol. And I don't know if I made the point clear in the first hour, but it ultimately doesn't matter what happens to the library company. If this puts them out of business, if they go bankrupt because the SEC takes all their money from them, the library concept, the library program will continue. There's still the Library Foundation that kind of helps promote that concept, and then the software itself is, of course, open source. So even if LBRY.com goes away, the software and the blockchain continue to run. So they cannot destroy this technology, can they, Justin?
No, to my knowledge, even Odyssey, like I've talked to some people who work at Odyssey, like Drew Hancock and Julian and Tom on Twitter, and like I've asked that question explicitly before. I'm like, hey, well, like this lawsuit's been ongoing for years. What if something happens and it just like puts Library under? Like what happens to Odyssey? And they said they've had plans in place and they're ready for the worst case scenario. Like libraries forced out of business, they're still ready to run and roll and take up the protocol themselves.
I think that's one of the reasons why, I don't know if it was like last year or several months ago, they officially split Odyssey from Library, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, Jeremy is no longer the CEO of Odyssey and doesn't actually work for Odyssey at all.
Right. So two separate companies.
Man stays busy, I don't blame him for not being the CEO of Odyssey.
Well, yeah, and let's change gears because we can talk more about Library. I know you're getting ready for a show, but you're also the campaign manager for Jeremy Kaufman's campaign for U.S. Senate here in New Hampshire. And, of course,
Justin, what are you thinking? He's with the Mises Caucus. They're evil. They said so on Twitter.
Funnily, so I've been involved in the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire since the day I moved to New Hampshire. I was involved in the Libertarian Party before moving to New Hampshire. I wasn't
moved from Massachusetts, by the way.
Yeah, I wasn't actually a Free State Project mover. I moved because of circumstances where I had a disagreement with the colonel of the state police in Massachusetts about what constituted a gun-free zone that led to me being forced to move. I've been involved in the LP since day one. This, like, the Mises Caucus, all the drama surrounding the takeover, this is, like, the third iteration of the takeover I've seen. And Jeremy's been involved for quite a long time before the Mises Caucus ever started as well. Like, I remember the first time I ran for office in New Hampshire, Jeremy was the single biggest donor to my campaign.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I was obviously joking. I don't have anything against the Mises, especially the Libertarian Mises Caucus. I mean, the New Hampshire Libertarian Mises Caucus. These are great people.
Well, I mean, look, the reality is, I mean, most of our listeners don't even know what that is, right? Like, they may have heard of the Libertarian Party. It's just one of the subgroups within the Libertarian Party that recently kind of had a success at taking over the National Party. But we really don't even care about the National Party. And I think I can speak for you in that case, right, Justin? Like, that's what are they going to do?
The only care I have about the National Party is maintaining enough influence there that they aren't an embarrassment to New Hampshire.
I like your way of looking at it. I tend to agree with that. I wholeheartedly support Jeremy's candidacy. Now, he is running. Tell us about that. What position exactly is it? Because I don't even know. I just know he's running, and I support him.
Yeah, U.S.
He's running for U.S. Senate against Maggie Hassan and Don Bolduc.
Yeah, and these are two arch status. Maggie Hassan is the current incumbent, and Don Bolduc is the Republican challenger who is trying to be positioning himself as some sort of an outsider.
I'm a political outsider, even though I've worked for the government since I was, you know, in my young 20s.
He's a military general, and he's trying to pretend like he was he's an outsider.
And now he's a cop as well.
Yeah, he's also a cop in Laconia.
Right.
I didn't have any idea what these people were running for. I watch YouTube on my television when I go to bed, so I don't have an ad blocker on there or anything like that. So I'm constantly seeing Maggie Hassan and Don Bolduc ads, and it's just constantly they're attacking each other, and it's so ineffective because a pro-Maggie Hassan ad sounds exactly like an anti-John Bolduc ad, and it's like they're paying for their own messaging, but it's only making Democrats happy when it's the Democrat ad, and it's only making Republicans happy. They're interrupting my entertainment, and I would never vote for them on that basis alone.
Well, they don't disagree, and I think that this is really a problem with people, with democracy as itself. We're entrusting dumb people to make decisions for the rest of us, unfortunately, and we don't have a choice in the matter. But, like, Maggie Hassan is the most corrupt senator in history. She has taken more lobbying money in the past 6 years than the rest of the U.S. Senate combined.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's public record. That's all in her campaign finance disclosures. She doesn't hide it at all. But she campaigns on being the most bipartisan senator. Mm. She's bipartisan because her votes are bought and paid for, and that's known. So she breaks from the party a lot, but it's not on good liberty issues that she's breaking with the party. She's joining with the Republicans when they want to ban something or criminalize something.
Sure.
And then Don Bolduc is a career military officer. And he's not just a career military officer, he's a general. And if anybody's ever served in the military, I had, you actually cannot get promoted to the rank of general without engaging in politics.
Yeah, you can't enlist and become a general, correct?
You can. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. But in order to be promoted from colonel to general, you have to be confirmed by the Senate.
Wow.
So it's an inherently political position, and you have to engage in politics to get to that point. So you have to know what you're doing in that realm.
Absolutely.
And he's a warmonger. And you don't get to the rank of general without having some kind of influence over policy either, even at just a command level or a brigade level. And you continue to – he did 10 deployments.
I was
going to
say that. You don't do that unless you love killing people. You love war.
I'm always amazed when I run into or I hear about a former veteran who served in the military, and yet they're a warmonger afterward, like John McCain. It's like, how?
What's wrong with this person? Yeah. This guy's a sicko, and you can tell in the video where he is having our friend Joa arrested at one point after he's done lying and claiming that he hit me, when he says that for the final time. If you watch Bill's video, you can see Bill pans over, and you can see for just about a second or two, Don's got this big smile on his face.
Not the kind of smile you'd have on your face if you just got hit by a stranger.
Yeah, you generally won't smile if somebody just hit you for real, right?
And I haven't seen the video, but correct me if I'm wrong, the video exonerates Joa completely.
Completely. Well, here's the thing. If someone did hit Bolduc right there, that would have won him the election.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was everything he wanted. Like, politically speaking, everyone's talking about right-wing violence against the left. All he wanted to be assaulted there. And it would have been a political coup if he was assaulted.
Well, thank goodness no one assaulted him.
Yeah, well.
A peace advocate who knows how to approach political figures in person with his camera wasn't about to hit him. It was never going to happen.
Justin, do you want to stay or do you want to run?
Well, real quick, my fun little tidbit on Joa on Bolduc here. The next day, I went with Joa to file charges against Bolduc for him elbowing him in the chest and assaulting him. And he's a cop in New Hampshire. This might get Don Bolduc on the Laurie list.
Yeah, it could. All right, man. Well, hey, have a good show tonight over at Free State Live. Check out the Free State Project channel on YouTube and Odyssey. Check that show out later on or watch them live. But we recommend you stick with us for now. But more coming up in moments.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show and bring up anything you want. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. 6160. We're talking about the library ruling that is not good. In fact, it could be interpreted to mean that anything that is suggested by a company that is being manufactured, it could be worth something more in the future, say magic cards or Beanie Babies or whatever, you know, comic books, that if they suggest that it may actually be worth more money in the future, now it's a security, now it can be regulated by the SEC, and if you didn't jump through the SEC's completely arbitrary hoops, which they won't even explain to you, because the library has been trying to figure out for 5 years how to do this legally, how to launch a cryptocurrency legally within the United States without it falling under the jurisdiction of the SEC.
They're going to get them in some way, whether they say that it may increase in value if you put it, your money into it, or if someone on Reddit says, I'm going to invest. I mean, an FBI agent could have made a Reddit account to say, I'm going to invest in this. And then they were like, oh, somebody
said. That's a crime.
Somebody else. I mean, like, what if I said something like that, you know, like joking on the air? Would it count towards, you know?
Apparently. Well, we know the FBI's listening, so probably. We're going to continue here, though.
They've called. We have to assume that they have.
Of course they
have. Why wouldn't they? They were doing that kind of crap to Martin Luther King. I'm fairly certain James Whittakin is one of them.
There's a good
chance. That's what I thought you meant.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Greg on the line in New York City. You're on Free Talk Live. Greg.
Well, as you can imagine, this would be something very interesting for myself.
Yeah, you're the creator of Intercoin, which is another, soon-to-be crypto, or I can't really say if it's soon-to-be. I don't know what the current status of it is.
Right.
And Intercoin registered with SEC, though, with the SEC, didn't they?
Technically, no. The SEC has what is called exemptions from registration. It's actually not so bad to be considered a security in the United States. You just have to follow some of the rules.
I mean, that's what makes it bad, though.
Yeah, that is bad.
Well, yeah. If you're a libertarian and you don't like how the government is constantly butting in, then yes, the rules are sometimes pretty crazy.
That's why I said it's not that bad to have to ask the king's permission sometimes, because sometimes the king gives permission. Yeah, but you still have to bend your knee and beg the king's permission.
And the thing that's so bad about it with library isn't just like, oh, we don't want to be considered a security. It's not really that. It's that they have no way to tell what they did to get considered a security, and now they have paid millions of dollars to defend themselves in court because of it, because they're saying, oh, you went off and became a business without our permission, so because of that, you're a security, and you weren't licensed or whatever.
Well, I can bring some clarity to this.
Okay.
I've been in this space for, 5 years now, and I can tell you, for this, I would need a few minutes. I'll just say this, that when I was starting out, everyone was like, well, if you're a utility token, then you're not a security. And we met with the SEC in 2018. Like, we went down to Washington, D.C., and we were actually meeting with the SEC. And, yeah, they were like, there's no such, like, designation as utility token. Like, it could still be a security. It all depends on, like, you know, if people are buying. Like, for example, if you buy a ton of tickets or Yu-Gi-Oh cards or whatever, and you don't intend to play with them, but you keep them in mint condition, right, and you hope that they will increase in value. I mean, technically, Yu-Gi-Oh, right, or Pokemon is also security. I mean, technically.
I mean, that's exactly the problem we're highlighting, though, is that that's a broad overreach from the SEC. You say it's not that bad to be considered a security, but that's everything in the known universe being considered a security by the U.S. government, and that is absolutely bad.
And it enters into thought crime, because you don't know that somebody isn't intending to play with them just because they're sitting on a shelf. They might be waiting until they're 100 years old to play with them. You don't know. You're entering into thought crime when you're saying, oh, they're holding on to them to keep them in mint condition and then sell them off later. They might be holding on to them. They never got a chance to play with them. Then they're like, oh, I can't see anymore. Now I'm going to sell them.
Well, I don't think that the person is going to be held liable for any of those things necessarily, but that's what you're saying. I think the point is that could be used as evidence, quote unquote, that these things are securities. And
it
then,
would be, I guess, Wizards of the Coast or whoever manufactures or whoever is selling these things or reselling them, wouldn't it?
Exactly. That's the problem. When they break up the poker game, they don't go after the people playing. They confiscate the cards, and then they they go after the people hosting the game. And, you know, frankly, the cure is worse than the disease, right? Because, like, with Ripple, all they're doing is, like, they're making people lose money years after the fact.
That's the point, though. That's what they wanted.
They want to punish the cryptocurrency investors, right? Yeah, they want to punish these companies for innovating.
They want to chop off the heads of the people who are responsible for this, and simultaneously they want to cause people who believe in it to lose as much value as they possible because that scares other people from getting into it. Well, they arrested CEOs and everyone else lost millions of dollars. I'm not touching that funny internet money.
Plus, they will go after the person, the old person that I was describing with the Yu-Gi-Oh cards, if they do it more than once, if they use eBay to sell them more than once.
Well, that's true, yeah. eBay is going to collect your tax information, and if you sell more than a few things, now you're a dealer, and you better start paying taxes or whatever.
But they'll leave you alone unless this person selling Yu-Gi-Oh cards is making too much money.
Right.
You can't make that much money. Now we're going to raid you.
If you guys leave me for one more second, I could give a lot more information. I want to say that there is, even though the government is one of the worst ways to create these regulations, but the underlying problems do exist. So, you know, people do invest in all kinds of things where they get rug pulled or the team decides, hey, we're just not going to work on this anymore. So there is a degree of risk. And the problem is, so the underlying problem, right, is there's two separate things. One is if there is utility, like Filecoin, you can actually use it, you know, to store files, for example, and libraries actually use it, right? But then there's all these things which never developed anything.
Well, risk isn't a problem. It's just a fact of life. It's something that people need to be protected from. I don't need to be protected by the government from the fact that I could walk outside and trip off my stairs and hurt my knee. Like, I don't need to be protected from every risk in the world.
That's the thing. They can't protect you from these things,
What is the cutoff? I'm not going to be protected by the government from walking outside and possibly falling on the ground and hitting my knee on the sidewalk. When do they start protecting me? Like, only when it involves money and they can get a cut of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some good news. Would you like to hear the good news?
Yeah, let's hear good news.
So since 2019, the SEC, and also FinCEN, which is, by the way, a more serious thing, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network.
Oh, we know about FinCEN here.
Oh, so that's for another day, but I'll just say that they also put out a guideline, 2019, how to issue crypto. But I just want to talk about SEC. So SEC put out a no-action letter, starting with a company called Turnkey Jet. And the next year, they put one out for a company called Pocket Full of Quarters. And they spell out what a project would need to have, what features, in order to not be considered a security. And if it fits all those things, it's not considered a security by the SEC. They wouldn't be able to win a court case against it.
But that's not the way it works. There's something that's called the Howey test, and they use that to determine what is and isn't a security. And as I understand it, the judge sort of threw that out in this case and said everything's a security.
He didn't throw it out. They're just saying that essentially anything that could be seen as an investment is essentially a security. But hang on, Greg. We'll continue here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Department of Justice will deploy election monitors to dozens of states for Tuesday's midterm elections. Personnel from the DOJ's Civil Rights Division and the U.S. Attorney's offices will monitor polls in 64 jurisdictions in 24 states to ensure compliance with federal voting rights laws. A huge lottery jackpot could make someone the next billionaire.
The Powerball jackpot for Monday night's drawing is at a level never seen before, $1.9 billion. This after no one won the top prize in Saturday's drawing. There were numerous smaller prize-winning tickets sold in multiple states. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Huge crowds gathered in downtown Houston for today's parade honoring the World Series champion Houston Astros. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And by the way, if you spent time living or working at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1988 and you've suffered from cancer, Parkinson's, or another serious health issue, you might be entitled to compensation. They had contaminants in the drinking water during those years and could have led to those diseases. There might be some filing deadlines, so don't wait on this. I'm going to give you a phone number here, and you can call it and see if you or a loved one are eligible. Apparently some family members are also eligible for this. If you were at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1988, you'll want to call this number if you had a serious health issue, 888-918-1037. Money is already set aside. That number again, 888-918-1037. We go back to Greg in New York. Greg, you were saying there's quote-unquote good news about the SEC screwing over cryptocurrency companies. You said there were a couple of specific companies that had gotten some sort of a letter that it sounded like you were going to say that they didn't have to register with the SEC as a security. Is that right?
That's right. So if the good news isn't that the SEC, the library lost, obviously, that, you know, just expands the SEC's ability to sue people. Obviously, it would have been better if they had a precedent that they lost. And who knows, maybe they'll lose on appeal, and that will preclude them from doing more of this. But my point simply is, there are really differences between people buying something for consumptive use, like going to a concert with tickets, or scalping 100 or 1 million tickets. There's a difference. And whether that the government does it or whether people decide for themselves to separate those two is up to us. So basically,
yeah, I don't know if I agree that there's really a difference.
Well, one is actually using the ticket, right? And the other.
They're both using the ticket. They're just using it in different ways. Like, they're both getting something back from having purchased the ticket. One person is getting back more money. The other person is getting an experience. One person is trading money for experience. Another person is trading money for more money. But they're both just making a trade of money for something that they want.
It's not like the concert is something like air and somebody is like, you can only get this if you pay $10,000. They have to pit it at a price where the person still thinks, oh, that's worth it for me to have this ticket, or else they don't get it sold.
No, but there's a huge difference between, so this is what the difference is. When a customer orders something off of Amazon or buys a pizza or whatever, they consume the pizza. Yeah, there may be a once in a while they may ask for a refund, but most of the time the transaction is done. When you are an investor who just comes in and you're hoping that at the end there will be a customer, well, it could be a bubble that grows and grows and grows, but in the end, you know, it doesn't really get much adoption. And so with this bubble, people who bought at the top, which is the most amount of people ever, are left holding the bag. And I think,
but see, you're changing the intentions of the buyer when you go from customer to investor. It's just a person purchasing a thing. It's just a customer in both scenarios. The only difference is the customer uses a thing and the investor holds on to it.
You're just adding like a value judgment to the action of the person for no reason. Like, it's not like an evil thing to buy something to make money off of it. It's just a thing. Just like just buying a pizza and just consuming it is not evil. It's just a thing. Or good. Sure. It's just a thing.
And we have literally no idea why anyone out there purchased library credits. Maybe some of them purchased it to be an investment. Maybe some of them didn't. We literally don't know, and we can't possibly know without polling every single person who's ever purchased a library credit.
And the thing that fixes your problem better than the government just punishing people is the market. If somebody buys a whole bunch of stock of something because they want to scalp people, as you said, and sell it for higher, and the market just isn't wanting that, then they're not going to buy it for the high price, one, or they're just not going to sell all the inventory they bought, and that won't keep happening.
No, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about value judgments or this is evil or that is evil. I'm saying the difference is that in one case, I consumed the thing, I got utility from it, and now I'm happy, let's say. But
what if the thing isn't consumed by usage, like a Pokemon card or a classic video game? You're suggesting that if a thing can be consumed by being used, then it can't be a security. It's a consumable, but that doesn't...
Well, no, forget the government. Just forget the government.
I didn't say anything about the government.
Right. What I'm saying is that, yes, if you play a game of cards, then you're using it. If you have millions of packs of cards in your house and your goal is to, you're a wholesaler, but that's still okay because the cards have been done.
You're still changing the circumstances. What if a person buys 60 Magic the Gathering cards, they play Magic for 10 years, and they turn around, they sell those cards for $50,000 more than they bought them for?
That's fine. I'm just simply saying there's a lot of meme coins that have no utility whatsoever, NFTs also. And people literally buy them only because there's going to be a greater pull down the road. And that could lead to a bubble. I'm saying that, with no utility.
Well, there's always risk. I mean, you're just kind of like explaining life, it sounds like. Like, that's the way things are. These are these different options out there for people to perform. And the reality is the SEC is just trying to ruin people's opportunities. They're trying to ruin people's businesses.
And ruin people's... reason, like, people won't be able to learn. People won't be able to be like, oh, that was a bad idea, shouldn't do that.
Oh, they'll still learn because the SEC can't possibly stop every potential scam coin from coming out. I mean, they can only go after the ones that they can go after, which is the ones within the United States. And they're not even going after scam coins. They're going after legitimate organizations like Library and like Ripple, whether you like them or not. They are still doing something that's on the up and up from what I can tell. I mean, maybe they are going after the occasional scam coin. They did have the news about Ethereum Max, which was the thing that was being promoted by
Kim Kardashian.
But still, that doesn't justify their existence because, as you pointed out, Bonnie, risk is a fact of life, and people need to understand that it doesn't matter whether you're buying some, you know, token on the internet or you're
buying magic cards or whatever it is, there's no guarantee that any of these things are going to go up in value. If somebody tells you that they're going to go up in value, don't believe them, because that person doesn't necessarily know what they're talking about.
I think there's more evil associated with the government going after people for their free will decisions than there is in the, like, chance that somebody might buy something and lose money.
Oh, of course. By the way, as someone who designs a cryptocurrency, right, Intercoin, I just wanted to say that I was always wanted to have utility, right, from day one. Like, I wanted to make sure that everyone who invests or, you know, buys the token, right, would end up, you know, we would work hard and actually build the network. But the thing is, like, we had to treat it as a security from day one. I personally think it's a security by the United States, maybe, but not other countries like Singapore. But my point is simply this, that, you know, because you guys have promoted, Intercoin on the show, that we were restricted. We couldn't just say whatever we wanted, and we couldn't even let non-accredited investors to even buy it, because of these regulations.
But what and that sucks. That hurts, you know, because average people might be interested in getting into some of these technologies, and they're basically priced right out of it by the SEC's rules. What were you going to say there?
Exactly. It's the rich getting richer because of the government. It's the same old story. But my point simply is this. Go look up Turnkey Jet, and more importantly, Pockets Full of Quarters. Those were companies, and I know the lawyers. I spoke to the lawyers. They got the SEC to write a no action letter. No action letter means, it says right there in the letter, the SEC will not recommend enforcement to its division that does this suing. And the, you know, the point is this: if the letter is there and they still go and sue you, they'll have a hell of a time trying to argue how come they just said they want, you know, that this is not a security, and then they go ahead and argue against it.
I'm looking at one of them right now, and thank you for the call tonight, Greg. I appreciate it. I'm looking at this Pocket Full of Quarters. Apparently, it's some sort of a gamer coin that is on the Ethereum blockchain, and the SEC is claiming that the quarters are only usable for gaming purposes and cannot be sold by the players. So they're basically a highly restricted Ethereum token, it sounds like. You can only just buy them and hold them and, I guess,
well, the idea of the SEC being like, oh, we need money for this is kind of crazy then.
So basically, this doesn't count as a cryptocurrency, is what I'm reading here. There's more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD, powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here and read whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
At 603-283-6160. We are talking about the bad news of the day, which is that Library, the company behind the Library Network, the Library Protocol, which is a media sharing protocol, where individuals can go and share whatever media they want to. Could be a video, could be audio, could be a PDF file, right? Could be some sort of file you upload to this. You're not even uploading it to a server. You're, as you pointed out, Aria, you're putting a pointer on a blockchain, basically, with some information about the file. And then the Library Network allows you to search that blockchain to find those pointers and to easily find the files that you're looking for. So essentially what Library did technically was they took this, all of the various torrents in the world, right? Torrents is a technology, for listeners that don't know, it's been around for probably 20 years now at this point, to allow people to download a file from multiple sources, the same file coming simultaneously from multiple different sources. But the problem with torrents has been there always has to be these websites, like the Pirate Bay. It's probably the most noteworthy one. There always have to be these centralized websites that are these repositories of the torrent files. And then, of course, the government's constantly taking down these websites because, in a lot of cases, torrents are used for movies and music and programs and things that have copyright, and so it's quote-unquote illegal in a lot of jurisdictions to download the files that the torrents will bring you.
But not even in all jurisdictions. Like you mentioned the Pirate Bay, I think they're based in Sweden, if I remember correctly, but wherever they're based out of, it doesn't have the same intellectual property laws that the United States has.
Right.
What they're doing in Sweden, or Switzerland, whichever one it is totally legal. But the U.S. government is still routinely in attempting to enforce its property laws into Sweden onto the Pirate Bay.
Right. So what Library did was they got rid of the idea of a centralized website. They essentially decentralized the searching for torrents, the naming of the torrents, and makes it easier to find these things than ever before. So basically with LBRY.com and their software, because it's a protocol, they have no control. They do not have the ability to say, oh, copyrighted material, you're out.
Yeah, I never even thought about looking on, you know, library to see if I could find Halloween Kills or whatever, or Halloween Ends, whatever the most recent one is. It just never occurred to me to look on.
Yeah,
I don't even know if that kind of content is there.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know how robust the file sharing of those sorts of copyrighted works is on that network. That's a good question. It would be maybe worth doing some research.
I'm wholesale against copyright and intellectual property, yeah. So if someone's doing that, hey, good, you have my support.
Now, they probably won't show up on Odyssey because Odyssey is a platform that can get rid of certain things, but they can't delete it from library. They can take it off of their platform, but it's still on the library system. So anyway, library's been ruled against today, and Joel Valenzuela has a rundown here. It takes less than a minute for him to basically run down the details on what happened at the Federal District Court Church in the case of library versus the SEC, or rather the SEC versus library.
Library, the company behind the content protocol of the same name, just lost its court case against the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The New Hampshire District Court ruled that library is guilty of selling illegal securities. They based their ruling on three key elements. Number one, library's representation to potential purchasers. The judge ruled that when Library sold its token, it represented it enough to qualify as a security as an investment and not a token that's useful today. That it was marketed as an investment even if only in a very small percentage of its posts. Second, the judge ruled that Library's business model relied almost entirely on the price going up of the token because the vast majority of the company's revenue is derived from selling these tokens. And third,
okay, let's pause it there.
That's fundamentally not true, though. It doesn't have to go up in value for them to make money off of selling it if they have it in the first place. That's just selling a product that they have.
Plus, don't they just give it away?
They do give it away.
Yeah.
In large quantities. You may think, oh, you get one or two library credits for using it. No, I don't know what it is lately, but when I initially signed up for a library, you could earn 10 a day. And there were like 50 bonuses for uploading your first thing. You get 50 free library credits.
You get library credits just for watching videos.
Yes, also for watching. It was surprisingly generous. That's because by watching a video, you become one of the sources for other people to download that video. We mentioned how it's sort of an evolution of torrenting.
Right.
By watching a video, you become a seed for it.
Yeah, they're basically just accusing Library of using their own token to fund their operations. And they're saying, well, you can't do that, apparently. And in the thing that Greg just called about, this pocketful of quarters, this company that is doing some sort of a gamer coin, the reason why the SEC gave a no-action letter to this company saying, all right, well, looks like what you're doing is legal by our standards, so we're not going to sue you.
Well, didn't the SEC, was it the SEC that went over Liberty Dollar, went after Liberty Dollar because they used the word dollar and they used the word quarter?
I don't think it was the SEC. I don't know about that, though, Bonnie. That's a good question. I feel like it was the FBI, because that was a criminal charge. I don't know if the FCC... Can the SEC bring criminal charges? I presume they can. Honestly, I don't know. But
Not that I want them to go after... Maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I don't want them to go after these people for using quarter, but...
But in the... these people, they say they're not going to go after them. So,
yeah.
Proof of quarters, and when you...
No,
finally,
pocket full of quarters.
Sorry, pocket full of quarters. When you actually look through this statement here, you realize why they're not going after them, because Pocketful of Quarters apparently has gone above and beyond to try to ensure that even though they're using a token that's based on the Ethereum platform, that it is essentially useless as a currency or useless as a tradable entity. Because normally when you create a token on one of these cryptocurrency platforms, they're by default just easily able to be sent and received, and you can send out as many as you want, and you can hold them or sell them or whatever. Or you can do what these people did, which is create what they call a smart contract, where there's an incredible amount of restriction on this particular contract. Now, actually, technically, every Ethereum token is based on a smart contract, but there's the smart contracts that have virtually no restrictions, and then there are the smart contracts that have a ton of them. And this one would prohibit the users of the proof of, pocketful of quarters. It would prohibit the users from using these quarters outside of their system, basically. So they get them for whatever reason, they hold them, and then they spend them back to this Pocketful of Quarters company or any of their approved developers, and they cannot send them to other players. They cannot send them to exchanges to sell them. They cannot buy them outside. So it's a completely closed-loop system. The Pocketful of Quarters sets the price of these things, so there's not a market price. It's completely based on total central control, basically.
Well, it's good. I'm glad they're not going after these people, too. And it sounds like it doesn't fit the definition and everything. But, I mean, having the money when you're starting up a business to go to the SEC and tell them, like, please don't prosecute us for us. What do we need to do? Isn't the fairest way for businesses to be run.
Yeah.
And it's also just not morally right for any startup to have to go beg not to be persecuted by the government.
Yeah. And essentially restrict your business model because of your fear, basically, yes, of what could possibly happen to you. Maybe they had a much wider vision for this concept, and then they found out about all the terrifying things that the SEC has been doing to these companies, and they thought, well, that kind of screws our plans. I guess we'll do this slimmed-down shadow of whatever the original vision was.
Just another example of what we were talking about earlier, of the government only being able to run on fear.
Yeah, and it ruins opportunities. It ruins ideas. It ruins a development and innovation, things that can happen in the market, in a free market, which was really one of the strengths of the cryptocurrency industry and still is if you're making things outside of the United States. Because remember, crypto is obviously the U.S. market's a big deal, but if the U.S. market were to disappear from the world of cryptocurrency tomorrow, crypto would still go on.
It would be, like, you know, bigger, I think, because people would not be so freaked out about the government going after them.
Well, I don't know if you could say it would be bigger, because you'd lose a lot of users if the U.S. just disappeared tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were saying if the U.S. government butted out.
Oh, well, yeah, that would make it much better.
No, I meant if the entirety of the U.S. market disappeared from cryptocurrency, it wouldn't kill crypto. It would just, you know, it'd take a dent. But
a pretty substantial one.
The rest of the world would continue. Development would continue in other countries. New ideas would continue.
Yeah, the government, I mean, the people of the United States would just be cut out of that.
Right. All of the, and that's the point here. All the SEC is doing is it's ensuring that new development in cryptocurrency happens offshore.
Like Gary Gensler tweeted from the SEC, tweeted recently, he was like, we need to start letting cryptocurrency blossom in the United States by regulating it so that way people have the correct protections.
Ridiculous.
And that's just not the right way
that's
to let
how
an
blossom.
Industry blossom.
Yeah, regulations are not designed for blossoming.
And that was a, you know, paraphrase.
That despite consumptive real-world uses for the library token, that didn't disqualify it as a security for the above two reasons.
Yep. So, basically everything's a security if it could go up in value is essentially the takeaway from this crazy decision by in favor of the SEC.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology, a pre-recorded voice about offers, or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.